Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs that comes in, helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. It's a gorgeous Saturday morning here in Connecticut, so I understand why you might be out there. I mowed my lawn on Thursday so I could have some time on Saturday. So hopefully you guys have got some time to yourselves and you want to cuddle up with your computer and have us fix it for you. That's top of mind today. But we're here if you're interested, and we'll do our best to help you out with those issues that are out there with technology, which is a constant battle. But as usual and customary, we do have some technology news, and here's some good stuff for you. Google is warning U.S. senators of foreign hackers targeting their Gmail accounts.
Why on earth do these senators have these public email accounts?
No idea.
Because they have the government servers, which are protected and encrypted.
Right. Why might they have these separate servers, Bob?
These
separate accounts?
Why?
I don't know.
There's only 100 senators. Does that mean they have 100 accounts? And what about their staff?
I know. Let's stop using the cloud guys and use the government servers, as long as they're not in somebody's bathroom in their home in Chappaqua. Use the government servers so that you can actually have your email protected. It turns out that the Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, on Wednesday sent out a letter to Senate leadership mentioning the email targeting, but only referred to Google as a major technology company. But of course, Google on Thursday confirmed it's them. Google last month removed 58 accounts tied to Iran from YouTube and other Google services that were part of an influence operation. This is in quotes. The disclosure followed similar ones from Facebook and Twitter. So the moral of the story is use your government email, please. Have it protected and backed up so that we, the people, know what the heck you're doing. And of course, you're going to be phished. So if you're, whatever Smith at gmail.com, assume some bad guy is trying to trick you into giving them your password.
What was your password?
Exactly. It's a very common approach to getting into your system. It's simply phishing you and acting like they're somebody else, and you give them the information.
Well, click on this link and update your personal information.
Right.
Don't forget to log in.
We want to update our current information about you. Please put all your information right here. Yes. Google is warning U.S. senators. I would also say they're probably warning House members. Also, if you're in the state legislature, same thing. Use your business or your government email, not Gmail. You know what I use my Gmail account for? Absolutely nothing. And I'm an Android user.
I only use my Gmail. Well, wait a minute. I only used to use my Gmail account when I had an Android phone.
Right, yeah. Yeah, now you just use your other ones. Other good news here, Toyota to finally support Android Auto. That's great. Toyota is one of a handful of automakers that only supports Apple CarPlay, but they're going to finally go and support Android Auto. So that's a good thing. The more systems that support Android Auto, for navigation, the better, as far as I'm concerned. You just need your smartphone to talk to your car. You don't need to pay for navigation or map updates on your silly car. You've got it through the phone.
The question that they didn't answer yet is that will they support like both systems simultaneously so that you can do both either an Apple or an Android?
Well, many of them do.
Well, yeah, not yet.
Usually
they take one or the other, or you know what I mean? They're not really going.
Well, Honda, we got a Honda minivan. It does both.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Toyota wants to, you know, I've got a Lexus that I drive around, which is a Toyota car, and they want to bill me massive amounts of money for the silly system. It's like, I'm not going to use your, it's like $600 or $700 or even more a year. I don't bother with it. I got my phone.
Yeah.
I don't need your
See,
system.
They're trying to squeeze money out of, you know, whatever they can get.
Exactly.
And you know, the thing is that, you know, we
it's
don't
unnecessary.
Need it.
We yeah. don't need it. I don't want you to car your car talking to the Googleplex because, you know, who knows what you're going to
do. Well, you know, I got a Ford and they wanted to update this. They have the Microsoft Sync system.
Yeah.
So for me to get an update for my maps and what have you, was like $300 and something.
Right.
You know, heck with that. You know what? I'll be switching over to my phone soon.
Android Auto, but Ford has to allow it. That's the problem.
No, I can sync in. No, but that's not the point. It won't be on decks. The point is I have to mount my
phone.
And instead of using the display and being able to have it integrated.
Right, which is
which
what
to
you
me
want.
Is backwards. See, I think these companies try to control what you can do.
Yes.
And that's bad.
It is bad. And then they charge you this ridiculous amount of money to get something you already have on your phone.
Which ends up being an anchor built into your car. Mm-hmm. It's obsolete a year after you buy it.
Right. I remember the days when I was in high school, I could change out my head unit in my my factory stereo. And you go to Crutchfield and you get your car stereo and you plug in your stuff. Now, you need a computer degree just to connect to a silly screen on your dashboard.
Well, you know, one of the things that upset me about my Ford is a year after I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a notice from them saying they were dropping Microsoft Sync.
Don't you love that? And that's why it shouldn't be. Let them build cars that are great vehicles. Let us interface whatever device we want to the silly screen. But just a screen.
Not only that, they didn't offer me an alternative.
No, of course not. Oh, we're dropping this. Sorry.
Yeah.
And
built into the whole
flipping system. I know.
Yeah,
be careful. It's a family show.
$5,000 of
technology.
Of technology that's all of a sudden a boat anchor.
I know. I literally turn my screen off on my car. I don't even bother having it on and just use my Waze.
I can't turn the screen off, but
you can't?
No, it's on all the time because everything's built into it. Mm. The radio display is built into it. The heater controls. I mean, everything.
Yikes.
So, you know.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
Well, Android Auto's coming to Toyota.
Not very forward thinking.
No. It really should be just a screen and you can do interface. Android Auto is an app that many cars now are going to give you the ability to do Apple CarPlay. You've got this too. You interface your phone and this whatever's on your phone screen can be displayed as long as it's supported on the main primary dash screen on your car. That's really the best way to do it. They frankly should make spots on the dashboard to accept the phone. I mean, you got to buy these crazy clips that go into your that go into your air vents. It's like, look, guys, you've lost the battle. Let us stick our phones on our dash, period. Let them charge, USB-C, you know, interface. You lost. We're not using your built-in systems.
Proprietary system?
We're not doing it. We've learned.
Know, historically, all the accessories on a car started off as an aftermarket. Every one of them.
Really?
Radios, people were building those in. You know, I mean, radar detectors.
Right.
You know, I mean, you name it. Dash cams. They
right.
were all started off as aftermarket. Cruise control was aftermarket.
You're kidding.
No, that wasn't developed by the automakers.
I
remember buying the kits.
How would you do cruise control yourself?
Oh, it was pretty easy. You know, you had this modulator that you put in, this electronic thing.
Really?
Do-it-yourselfers used to do it all the time.
Man, I would never touch that.
And then you did add to things like fog lights. Now they put fog lights in.
Right.
I mean, all the things that they do that they give you as options. Mag wheels.
Yeah. That's true.
I remember going out. The first thing you would do is get rid of the wheels and buy new tires and mag wheels and wide tires and, you then get your car repainted, put on some fancy stripes.
All right.
You know, now you can buy it already done.
Yeah. And it's proprietary. Good luck getting the little screws off a Volkswagen, I'll tell you, to change your tire. Get these crazy wrenches. But, well, it's kind of funny. You've got a Tesla article about their built-in cam, right? They are going to build in the dash cam technology,
oh,
right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. They're promising.
To your point.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Here it is. Elon Musk promises Tesla dash cam feature soon. Mm-hmm. Dash cam mode would use the cameras on the vehicle normally for autopilot and will be released with Tesla software version 9 as a beta feature.
Right.
Tesla's autopilot feature uses a battery of cameras to monitor other cars on the road, and a contingent of Tesla owners have been wondering why their cars can't use this hardware to also function like a dash cam.
Right.
Well, according to a tweet earlier this week from CEO Elon Musk, that functionality is coming and soon.
Good.
Dash cams are aftermarket pieces of hardware.
To your point, yeah.
That mount on a vehicle's windshield or dash to record activity in front and sometimes behind. And if you've got a fancy unit, the vehicle downside is that they can clutter up your car's interior, and yet it's another piece of equipment to worry about.
Yeah.
It's easy to see why Tesla owners would want a user-enabled feature that's already built in.
Right.
Okay. And
And if you're driving in Russia, it's a necessity.
Well, everybody in Russia has them, because you can come up to a stop sign and people will jump off the curb onto the front of your car and say that you hit them, and then they sue you.
Right.
And now I'm giving everybody ideas, right?
No, not in America. Most people like their legs.
Yeah, but if the car stops.
Oh.
Okay. You jump off the curb onto the hood of the car, which damages the car, and then you roll off onto the car, hold onto your legs, and go, you hit me.
Excuse me. That's funny. It's crazy. Oh, Bob. So now you're going to have a technology built into a Tesla. You can actually get a little DVR going and then post it up on YouTube. Because if you've ever seen those videos on YouTube, it's crazy. All the dash cam stuff on YouTube, and you can be a millionaire.
Oh, yeah. Well, it would protect you from a lot of things.
Exactly.
People do a lot of funny things on the road.
We'll put that link up there for you.
Okay, yeah.
So we got a bunch of other things we talk about. We got three lines open for you on this beautiful Saturday morning. If you're calling from Connecticut, feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. But the 800 number is a national number, and if you listen to us over the pod or over the stream, love to have you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. So Matt clearly doesn't know what day it is. Our producer. But it is kind of mellow here. And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. But let's get right to your calls. And we're going to go to Stefan in New Britain first. Hey, Stefan, what's up?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
I had a question about VPN, but if I got an aftermarket part for my laptop, like an airfoil, will it run faster?
Maybe if you add a little
cooler,
little nitrous too.
Oh, okay. But if I got a Russian airfoil, would it run faster only in kilometers?
Who knows? Yeah, it's
okay. I wanted to set up a VPN.
Yeah,
I have a cable Wi-Fi kind of thingy, and I heard that I can set up a VPN.
Yeah, so you want to try to surf more securely?
Yeah.
So you have to choose a VPN provider, and understand this, though, that many of those VPN providers are still using traditional DNS. So they end up not necessarily giving you the security you're hoping for.
Okay. My question about the VPN is, this is supposed to make my web connection anonymous?
Right. It can. It tries to offer that. Yeah. Some of it is not as anonymous as you think it is. Because, again, they use your local DNS. So the VPN happens, and then it's calling to your local machine's DNS to say, okay, Stefan wants to go here. So your VPN, you're going to establish a connection between your computer and, let's say, some VPN service in Albuquerque, right? So when you're surfing, now your IP address looks like it's in Albuquerque, right?
Yeah.
And you do your surfing, and the VPN provider is supposed to be kind of keeping that information there rather than through your internet connection. But with some of these systems actually look at your local DNS on your computer and say, okay, Stefan wants to find google.com, right? And it actually then is able to – it kind of defeats the purpose of a VPN, because it's caching that information as you've surfed. So it's a oxymoron. And some of the free stuff, again, the free VPN services, they'll cough up that information rather fast to anybody who needs to ask it, because that's just the nature of their business. They're not going to say, "Oh, I'm going to protect Stefan from wherever he's searching." They're going to give it up. So the moral of the story is, it's really hard to be anonymous on the internet. You have to find a service that you trust, and the moment it just, you know, somebody wants to find out where these users are going, the government's going to ask for it, and it's going to get coughed up rather fast. So I don't know that I would subscribe to any of these things, and I couldn't even give you a recommendation. I'm sure there's some folks out there that could say, "Oh, these are the best VPN services out there," but
all this odd stuff's popping up, and you know, like Target ads, stuff like that, and other things that are disconcerting.
Yeah, you can. Well, you can use incognito mode, and that'll help you.
Yeah, I do all the time.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah,
now,
that'll help
because
you.
Because it interrupts my web experience.
Well, if it's only for that, use the incognito mode, you know, deny cookies and stuff like that, and that'll give you a more private search or less ads.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
All right, Stefan. Thanks for calling. All right. Bye-bye. It is a common thing. People want to try to surf more anonymously these days, but you really can't, unfortunately.
The only way you're going to surf anonymously is to turn your computer off, go to the beach.
Exactly. All right. Let's go on to Dave in Burlington. Hey, Dave. What's up?
Hey. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Great show. I love it.
Thanks.
Hey, I got a call from Apple yesterday on my phone.
From Apple on your phone. Okay.
Yeah. And they said that my email account has been hacked and I need to reset the password.
And they wanted to know your password, right, Dave?
Oh, no, they wanted to know. They wanted me to go in and connect my computer with their computer. I said, "No way, pal." And he kept pushing.
Oh, yeah.
He had my email address.
Of course.
Well, why don't you send it to me by U.S. mail? Send me how to reset it by U.S. mail. He said, "Yeah."
Yeah.
But then they called back a total of 7 times.
Yep.
And I couldn't. My son finally got fed up. He got on the phone and was hassling him.
Yep.
And then he just blocked the call. But they called a total of 7 times.
Yep.
They wanted to connect my computer with theirs, and I said, "No way, pal."
You're exactly right. That's a fake scam call, and this is they're phishing. They're literally putting a line in the water.
My son has an Apple account. He called Apple, and they said to immediately hang up and to notify them.
Yep.
So just to beware.
Anytime Microsoft calls you or emails you, your bank, you know, emails you,
the
Apple
IRS.
Emails you, the IRS emails you, you can't, email, as far as I'm concerned, is nothing, you can't use it to communicate anything important.
Right.
Period.
Can people call up and ask me about my computers? I says, "I have 7 of them in front of me. Which one do you want to talk about?" I says, "Give me the IP address."
Yeah.
And they won't.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, they're just trying to trick you. So I'm glad you brought it up, Dave. It's good to keep reminding people. There's a lot of gullible folks out there that will very easily give that information. If you ever find yourself typing in anything from an email, you know, verify your account.
Right.
You are literally giving the bad guys the keys to your account.
Well,
your
plus
account.
The guy sounded like he was in a bus station with all the activity. I asked him, "Are you calling from a bus station?"
He's probably calling from the third world somewhere. You know,
there's a couple of
call center in the background.
Yeah, it's a call center. Literally, it's become a business. They have, you know, they'll take people off the street and have them start calling, and they'll pay them whatever minimum wage that they're going to be paid. You know, they'll have great working conditions. I mean,
and they have a script to go by. I try to get them off their script.
Yeah, they're all scammers. So thanks for the update, Dave.
Okay.
All right, man.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That is a thing to be aware of.
Once then I think of the most gullible. Speaking of gullible, are the ones that are in our government.
Well, yeah,
because they give it up the most
instantly. Any email you get, you know, "Hey, your Bank of America account is compromised. Please put your data here. Just confirm this is you. I need your bank account number. I need your social security." They'll never. No self-respecting business should ever email you that information ever.
I get emails from state government. Click here.
I know.
I can't believe all the governments do it.
I know.
And, you know, then they're talking about cybersecurity and this and that. Now, wait a minute. They're setting themselves up for people to hijack their emails.
Right.
Use it as a template and then change the coding in the background to be able to impersonate them and use that so that they can get people's stuff.
I hear you. It's not a good thing. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Danny and Bill, hang on. 2 lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you want to talk about being scammed or the stuff that's happening out there on the internet, let us know. It is a constant problem out there. just you've got to be vigilant. You've got to assume anybody knocking on your front door or your computer may not be from where the company they say they're from. So don't let them in if it's from the water department, unless you call the department and say, hey.
You mean they might lie?
They're probably going to lie. keep very vigilant. We'll be right back. There you go. Now you got the right day. I knew you had it in you, Matt. Now the question is, do you really know what time it is? Oh, that's a whole other song. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best for you. And John Silva was rubbing in the Jets a little bit with me here. I'm a sad Jet fan. And we had hope. We had a little hope. I mean, after that first play, we figured, okay, typical Jet season. And then all of a sudden, they beat the heck out of the Lions. And we're like, wow, we could win a game or two as Jet fans. Ooh, I actually saw a flag in my neighborhood, a Jet flag. You'd never put out anything if you're a Jet fan. I mean, it's really paper bag time. What were you going to say, Bob? I mean, you can't. As a Jet fan, it's a rough life. I think we're just gluttons, right? And then they get beat by the Browns. Mm. The team hasn't won a game in like
Browns
years.
Used to be the powerhouse. And
sure. Well, the Jets were at one time, too, but that was when Namath.
But the Browns.
I didn't even exist at that time.
The Browns did like the Colts, and they left town in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's right, know? Yeah.
And then, changed their name and did something else, and then they...
they're back.
There was, well, yeah, I don't know, but that was like the most packed stadium of the NFL.
Was it?
And they left the market.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
That's too bad.
I wasn't a fan, but I knew when I lived in Indiana, a lot of my friends were Browns fans.
Yeah.
And they were tough. The dogs, what were they?
The dog pound.
The dog pound, yeah. They were hardcore.
Yeah. I can't watch. I just can't watch. Can't watch. Just can't do it anymore. At least we got the Red Sox. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Danny in Glastonbury. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, guys. Listen, my tablet's become a little less responsive to the touch when I touch the screen.
Yeah?
And I remember my Acer used to have a setting for sensitivity.
Hmm.
And I looked on my Galaxy here, and I can't find that setting.
I don't think there is one. Again, I have the exact same tablet as you.
Yeah.
I don't think there is a setting, Danny. I think...
Is that dying device indication, or...
Well, it could be. It could be a problem with the screen itself. But there is no sensitivity to the touch that I know of. I can do some little bit of research. I know Bob's probably checking now if he knows anything, but I don't think there is a sensitivity setting on the touch screen. But I can double check for you.
Okay.
I would say it's probably, it could be showing its age or something. Did you find something, Bob?
Yeah, it says to change this setting, tap the settings, tap the language and input, scroll to the very bottom of these settings, and tap pointer speed.
On a tablet?
That's what it says.
On the Android? So there must be one. So I'm corrected.
Hmm.
Danny, there is a setting.
Put that up on your website at
we can.
For the show?
Yeah, we can put it up there for you. But I didn't even, I'm shocked to even hear there is one. So
yeah,
what do I know?
Just what Bob said, as fast as he said it, I didn't really catch that. But I went on everything that I could think of. None of that sounded familiar. I mean, that I had for options.
Right.
And none of that even sounded familiar.
It's obviously will be under the settings if there is one, but we'll put one up there for you.
Okay.
And
hey, and one other thing. How about Elon Musk and the Miyazawa going to the moon, buying all the seats?
Yeah. Well, Elon, so Danny, you know, I try to avoid personalities when it comes to Musk, but that guy's losing his marbles.
Oh, he is. Well, I mean, that happened to Nikola Tesla, too. I mean, he can't be that smart and stay...
Yeah, he's
happened to Howard Hughes.
Email,
yeah.
I sent an email to ask if I could go to dearmoon.com.
Nice. I bet the seat's kind of expensive.
No, he already bought the seats. He's just looking for people to take with him, interesting people, artists and sculptors and designers. And I figured he might just be looking for a geezer. for another variant, and they're gonna live stream the whole thing if it ever happens, of course. But I mean, when I was in 1954, when I was 8 years old, I had a telescope, and my mother bought me it was photos of the moon, but it blown up in cross sections, so you could make a mosaic enlarged.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been in love with the moon since way back. So
yeah, nothing sounds crazy about what all that you just said there at all. hop on a spaceship with Elon Musk and his buddy and head to the moon.
I'm ready to die anyway, so, you know, I mean, what a better way to go.
That's true, right? If you're going to go, you're going to go on a rocket ship.
If I was young and healthy, I might reconsider, but, you know.
Does it feel a little Hale-Bopp-ish? If they start giving you purple robes and Nike sneakers, look out.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. I mean, it's definitely on the far end of the branch, out as far as you can go.
Yeah, and Elon shouldn't be messing around with that stuff. He has a hard enough time being taken seriously these days based on what he's tweeting and talking about.
Oh, yeah, and the Joe Rogan interview and stuff like that is ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is going to, I think, affect his company. And now with all the other manufacturers out there like BMW, Mercedes, mm-hmm. Volkswagen,
but
Toyota.
You know, the one advantage he has is he's got the Gigafactory making the batteries.
So they'll buy the batteries from him.
And the solar walls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the wall. And, I mean, he's got a lot of other great things going on.
Yeah, but you may not be able to make a whole lot of money selling batteries. If the competition's buying them from you, great. But I don't think the margin is going to be real high.
And don't forget the brain inner neural internet with the implants to tie your brain into, computers, the interlink.
He's doing that too? Oh, brother. Yeah. What could go wrong?
Well,
nothing.
No.
Everybody's talking about a moon party. Moon party.
If I go and it's on a Saturday, you're going to get a call halfway to the moon, and then you really be big pimping.
I would love to take that call, and the station would be happy to pay that long-distance charge. So when that happens, you call the 800 number from the moon, man, you're in.
Okay, guys. Goodbye.
Thanks, Danny. Bye-bye. And there is a sensitivity setting on your Android device. I did not know that. We've got this crazy... We don't cook very well at home. We don't cook much at all. So we've got this, it's a microwave and an oven that you have to touch it. That's just a surface. And if you don't touch it with the right, I don't know what it is. There's no button you push in or out. You have to tap it. So you got the mother-in-law who's pounding on it, you know, honey, you don't have to touch it harder. You just touch it. You can't touch it hard enough. So I wish there was a sensitivity setting on my stupid microwave so I could pop some popcorn, for crying out loud, without going crazy, touching it just the right way so that the thing, it's a German thing. I don't know. I don't even know why.
So it doesn't burn it or?
Not even burn it. I mean, I can't even tap the numbers in, you know, and you get somebody, oh, the two's not working. What do you mean the two's not working?
See, it should be voice command. They got a deal. I didn't.
Voice command?
Alexa's having these things where it can you can put your home appliances and be controlled by Alexa now.
So you know
toasters and microwave ovens and coffee makers.
I can see that so that you don't have to touch it and have a sensitivity issue, but you have to say it the right way. You'll have to get the command down right. So you have to say like, Alexa, pop my popcorn.
Alexa, Earl Grey. Hot.
Yeah, right. It's coming, Jean-Luc. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Rick and Nancy, hang on. Everything we've talked about will be posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. That's the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you go to Facebook and like us on Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg deems our news worthy, it may, just may, get to your newsfeed. However, it may not. We'll be right back. Back in the 70s here again with Matt. Don't even know this tune. I'm sure I do know it, but
Philadelphia Freedom.
Ooh, look at you. All right, Bob knows. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Two lines open for you. And 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's go on to Nancy in Waterbury, who's been on the phone the longest. What's up, Nance?
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, so my problem is I use my phone for email and...
Sure.
Instead of a computer right now, and so I'm getting a message that says I need to back up your cloud before it expires.
Uh-oh.
So I'm not sure what to do, and I've been getting the message for a little while. Do I have to worry about that?
I hate it when the cloud dissipates. So so basically, whatever service you're using, whatever email service, they're saying, look, Nance, if you want to hang on to this email, you better back it up because we're going to do some house cleaning. And so if you have any email that you need for whatever reason, you need to back it up. Now, you don't have a place to back it up because you're not using a computer. You're using your phone. So there's a chance you're going to lose your email.
Oh, no.
Not your email box or your email itself, but that email that was sent to you. Because they're warning you that they're going to do some cleaning. And they really don't care whether you have your email there or not. And generally, most cloud services don't back up your email. And it's really up to you to protect this stuff so that if you need it, you have it. Or you have to print it out, Nance. But again, you need to connect to a printer that can support talking to a smartphone.
Right.
Which many do these days. They offer wireless right. printing in that way.
Right. So what I do, if I want to see an email or if it's important, I send it to my husband's laptop.
That'll work.
And then I can print it or, you know, see it again.
Is your husband using the same service as you?
Well, it's
same email service? You guys use the same type of service for your emails, both of you?
Yeah.
All right, so his is at risk of being lost as well. So if you send it to his laptop, that's great. If it comes down to his laptop using like an Outlook mail client, then he's got it locally on his computer. That's great. If he's browsing to the mail system through the internet and is just looking at the cloud, then again, it's at risk as well. So he needs to back up his email as well. What service do you use?
Well, it's Gmail.
Gmail's warning you they're going to be cleaning house. Okay. You must have a lot of mail out there, Nance.
Yeah.
So it's coming. They're going to clean it out on you. And if you need it, you're going to lose it. But, you know, it depends on how important your email is. It's old email. It's been there, done that. And if it's right. about if it's about yoga and setting up wedding things, right. who cares, right? You can delete that anytime.
Well, the NSA doesn't need it anymore.
I belong to, I get a lot of important yeah, right. events coming up, things like that. And
So it's just noise. You can delete that. That's past stuff. It's past stuff, right? It's already happened.
Right. That's true. So I think what I need to do is use the computer more.
And download it. Yeah, download it locally if you want to hang on to it.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I can figure that out. Thank you very much.
Anytime, Nance. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
But yeah, that can happen to your cloud because really it's not yours. You're borrowing it and they let you have access to it because I just read something recently where Google said, you know, they're I guess doing less of reading your email, but they allow third parties to read your email now. So
you mean like the NSA?
Not the NSA. Who knows? There could be an agreement there, but apps, right? So, you know, Facebook got in trouble for their whole issue with that survey, right? Where they were using our data and collecting data inappropriately because the designer of that app didn't follow quote unquote Facebook's rules. Well, Google has the same type of thing. You know, they tell people, okay, you're welcome to grab our user's email and read it as long as you don't use it nefariously or in any bad way. And, you know,
tell me what that means.
They pinky swear. They pinky swear. They all pinky swear. So what I'm telling you is you could find apps on your system, on your phone or whatever you're using that are also reading your Gmail. And I can find the link for you. I'll put it up as an article. You can read it yourself, but it's out there. These guys, it's free for a reason.
When it's free, you're the commodity.
Exactly. Let's go on to Rick and Nugget. Hey, Rick.
Hey, good morning. I'm awake.
Hey, good. good.
So, hey, what I'd like to do is I'd like to send, receive texts via my PC. I've done as much online research as I can get, and then finally gave up finding something. I called Apple, and it sounds like as I have an iPhone, they don't support PCs or Windows. Do you guys know if there's a bridging software I can pair my phone to the PC, you know, via Bluetooth at all?
Via Bluetooth. So you want to... I can tell you, you can send texts from your computer, like from an email. You can send the
text.
Okay, you went the other way around.
Yeah.
All right, so can you give me an idea as to how you want to use this feature so I can better understand what you're trying to do?
Sure. Well, essentially, for example, if I could put my phone safe in my pocket, just a scenario, and that way, but I'm working on my computer.
Oh, I see.
Get a text pop up, maybe in a side window, and I can then answer, receive, and so forth.
You want a notification that you got a text without having your phone go off or bing or buzz or whatever you're doing. You just want it to be right there on your computer.
It would be terrific. Just like the Outlook pops up with your emails periodically with the timing to send and receive.
Yeah,
I'd like to wonder if I could do that at all. Maybe it can't be done. And then if it can't, then you guys can take my idea, run with it, write the program, and sell it, and I'll just take a small 10%.
We are finding there are technologies out there. Bob just found an article about it through Tech Radar, believe it or not, to see if it supports Apple. So it might be out there where you can actually control your phone, your smartphone through this. But Apple and Microsoft, even though Microsoft saved Apple from bankruptcy long ago, are still not really friends.
Yeah.
And but we can look to see if there's anything out there. If anybody out there is a user who's doing what Rick wants to do, where they, you want to get a notification on your computer that your Apple smartphone got a text, that's what you're looking for.
And then be able to respond to that text. Essentially, have a window pop up that we can remotely, if you will, or talk back and forth to the phone from the PC in the texting.
Right, because you don't want it in reverse. Like I told you, you can do that from a PC. You can text the things, but you want it the other way around.
Right.
What about iTunes? Does iTunes offer something?
I have been online and looking and web searching and so forth, and there's been a couple of supposed solutions on YouTube, and that's the basic stuff of checking your whether or not your drivers are up to date, turn it on and off, the normal stuff that, is your PC plugged in,
All
right.
You know what, though, Rick? It's actually kind of on, if you think about it. You're very much a unique person to actually not be glued to your phone.
Right,
so you're trying to solve a problem that 99.9% of the population doesn't have, where literally their phone is glued to their person, and they're looking at it every 3 minutes anyways. So you're saying, I want to put my phone in a basket in the kitchen and go work on my computer in the living room, wherever it is, and hope my computer will tell me what's happening on my phone.
Right. It's a lot more efficient if I'm doing work with Excel or whatever the case might be on my PC and have a window pop up possibly.
All right. Well, we'll have to do some research on this, and we have found a few things that we can post for you that you can take a look at, but I don't think we found anything specific.
I'm glad I'm stumping the stars.
You're asking for something unique, very unique.
Like I said, I'll take a 10% royalty and I'll be happy with it.
You got it, Rick.
All right. Thanks very much.
You got it, sir. We'll do our best for him. We'll try to find an answer for that. If you guys have found an app that does that, where you can put your phone in a basket far away from your person, and actually use a computer and have it talk to your phone and be able to interact back and forth. I don't know. That sounds a little unique.
I don't know.
We didn't really find anything that goes that direction. The other direction we found so far.
From the PC, yes, directly.
All day long.
If you got it tied to your email account, I don't see how it wouldn't go to both places, let's say, simultaneously.
Well, we'll just do some research. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Four lines open for you. Everything's been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Mike G is working feverishly. He also posted to our Facebook site. If you like us at Tab Computer Systems, it'll get into your newsfeed. And yes, if you really have time to use Twitter, which I don't have any idea how anybody has time to use Twitter, but if you do, you can follow us at Tab Computer Sys, and it'll get to your Twitter feed. We'll be right back.